Turn your Bibles, will, to 2 Peter. If you have your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you've got a Bible and you can read, turn to this and read it for yourself. You need to hear the word of the Lord in every respect. We all need the word of the Lord. And this is a message the Lord, I trust, is blessed with this morning. And that we might hear what he has to say. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, the scripture says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust." And a scoffer is one that denies the truth. They speak against the truth. They have the truth that comes to them and faces them straight up, and they say, "No, that's not true. That's not going to happen. That's not going to be." Knowing this first, verse 3, "There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, their own desires, what they want, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of.'" They say everything's been the same, been going right along the same way. But Peter writes, and the Lord tells us, they are willingly ignorant of the things that are at hand. "That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." God created it all. We were just talking about a few of the brethren. We were up here talking about that after the Sunday school lesson. And I appreciate the Sunday school lesson very much. Men just want to deny. They choose to deny the creation and want to attribute it to chance. Into great explosions. It's madness. It's the thinking in the way of a fool that denies the creation of this wherein where we live and the creation of all things. And the Lord says, the scripture says, they're willingly are ignorant of. They want to be ignorant. They choose to be ignorant. They don't face the facts that are around them and don't face the fact of God's word. And so he mentions, Brother Peter mentions here about the creation. Verse 6, "Whereby the world that then was, that created earth, being overflowed with water, perished." So there was a flood. Verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now," we're after the flood, okay? We're post-flood. And here it is. We're living in it. You drove across it. You've got a house, a dwelling built on it. You and I, we get our food from it. All right, we live in it. We breathe the air of it. We see the different things our Lord has created and has brought about since that flood. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." I want to preach a message this morning. Pray that the Lord will help and bless in it. Warnings from the Lord. Warnings from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the privilege to be able to meet together with your people as your house, Lord, to worship you. And we pray, Father, you'd help us. Thank you for the way that you have blessed already. Thank you so much, Father, for the way that you encourage us in you. Thank you for your good word and the richness of it and the blessing that it is unto us. Thank you, Father, for the songs and for the prayers that have been lifted up unto you. And Father, we pray that you'd help us now. Take away the cares of life and all those things that beset so easily our hearts and minds. And Lord, help us to focus upon you and these warnings that you give in the scripture, Father. We pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved. We pray, Father, that you would visit them and save them. Lord, you must. It's the only way they'll be saved. And we pray, Father, that you would save them. Lord, use us to be a good witness of good things in Christ and of your word unto them. And Lord, we pray that you would work. Thank you, Father, for the warnings, these warnings of your scripture. And we pray, Father, that you would help us all, that we would hear them and heed them and believe them, Father, as you have given them to us. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here we see, and Peter mentions and writes about the creation and then how there was a flood. A flood. Some at the 1400 and some year mark of the age of the earth, there was a great worldwide flood. I like to title that flood, The Warning, and what happened there, this first warning that was given. It was a warning by obedience, preaching, and a monument. The warning by obedience, preaching, and a monument. A warning of destruction by water. We come over here to Genesis chapter 5, and we just want to skip down through verses here, and I trust that you know the account about the flood and Noah's day, and I'll try not to call him Moses. It's a thing you get into. Seemed like when you're talking about Noah, as you want to call, I want to call him Moses. I was even talking to Clarissa a little bit about things and related, and I call Noah Moses. But Noah, in his day, we see here, in Genesis chapter 5, quickly, as these brethren are born, and in verse number 19, it talks about Jared, and his name means descent. And I think that there is a thing that's at hand. Man is descending in that day. His sin is abounding more and more, and men are just descending. We're not evolving. We're devolving, if anything. We're getting worse and worse and weaker and weaker. That's just what's going on. And then to Jared, brother Enoch was born, and his name means dedicated. And indeed he was. He walked with God, didn't he? And the Lord blessed him, and we know that Jude speaks about Enoch and the preaching that he did and the ungodliness of men, if you remember that over in Jude. Enoch preached. He was dedicated to the Lord, and he walked with God, and the Lord translated him, and he was not. And then we see that to Enoch, brother Methuselah was born. Man of the dart is the meaning of his name, or a dart. Maybe, and I don't know. It's just interesting to look at these names, but was it so that the Lord was going to send a dart upon the earth and a dart to earth? Remember, the year that Methuselah died was this great flood. The year that he died was this great flood, and he's a man that lived the longest accounted, that's recorded of all men. And then we see brother Lamech as he is there, and his name means powerful. The power of God was going to work to save his people. You know, the Lord is going to save his people. The Lord is going to have a remnant. He always has, and he always will. The Lord is going to move with power. And to brother Lamech was born brother Noah, whose name means rest. Lamech said it in verse 29 of this chapter, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord hath cursed." There was an expectation of a blessing with brother Noah. We see in this latter part, the last verse of this chapter 5 of Genesis, "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." He had three sons, and from what we read right there, it seems like that maybe they may have been triplets. I don't know. But at 500 years old, that's hard to think about 500 years old. Gran is 100 years old, and Brother Bobby's grandmother-in-law is 105 years old. It's hard to think about being 500 years old. You think about how much you could build and how much you could accomplish in 500 years. Nevertheless, our brother was 500 years old, and he had these three sons. They were brethren, of course, and whether they're triplets or not, we don't know, but it seems like they could be. And there they are. There they are. And it came to pass, chapter number 6, it came to pass that when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, verse number 2, a notable verse that we want to consider, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose, sons of God. And I think this reference here is no different than it is today. We're the sons of God. We're the sons of God now, we who are saved. And we're not to mingle with the world. If you're saved, you're supposed to marry somebody that's saved. And if you're a Baptist, you're supposed to, the Lord expects you to marry a Baptist. And you have agreement on every plane in which the Lord has given you. Don't take marriage and don't take the future of family and use it as a mission field. Listen, because what the Lord's blessed with, if somebody else doesn't have that, they'll just drag you down. You'll never bring them up. They will drag you down. It's just that way. And so for those who are not married, consider that. And you're saved and you're in one of the Lord's churches, keep what you have. Don't trade out what the Lord has blessed you with and given you. And this is what happened in that day. The Lord's people started messing around and mingling with the world's people. It's just that way. And so the Lord gives a promise here in verse number 3. And listen to what he says. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And whether this is, I'd always taken this in times past that the Lord was going to take the longevity of man. Noah's at 500 years, is going to live to a long time, 900 and some years, if my memory serves me correctly. I think he lives 350 years after the flood. I always thought that the Lord would take that longevity and bring it down, okay? He even tells Noah that the time of man, the life of man, is going to be nominally 80 years, okay? But you know what? This could also be that the Lord says, in 120 years, I'm going to change the complexion of this place because I'm tired of all this wickedness and I'm tired of all this sin of man. And however that is, there is a warning at hand there, in there. But it goes on. There were giants in the earth in those days, and big men, tall men. I saw a man at Walmart the other day in Russellville. Maybe some of you have seen him. He had to be pushing almost 7 foot something. He's a big man. And they have existed, and they do exist. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And it's always that way. There are men that look to pursue and conquer and build and such as that. And God saw, verse number 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God saw into the hearts of men, and he saw the wickedness that was at hand, and he saw depravity just boiling and festering and all the wickedness that was brought about from it. And he was tired of it. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And you know what? What that verse says is what it means. It grieved him. And he was sorry at it. Did it sneak up on God? No, nothing sneaks up on God. Now, God knows, but in this happening at this time upon the earth, it is true. It grieved him, and he's going to do something about it. He's not thwarted in it. He's going to do something about it. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowl, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. This wickedness that's at hand, God's tired of it. He's going to restrain wrath. And he's going to, the wrath of man will praise him, and the remainder of wrath he will restrain, and God's going to deal with it. He's sick and tired of it. You know, God's not going to let sin just keep on passing. Since this time of the flood, it has welled up and has festered up and bubbled up. And since that time, for what now, for another 4,500 years, the Lord's not going to put up with it. He didn't put up with it then. And he's not going to put up with it going forward. He's long-suffering, and his righteous eye quivers and trembles as he withholds his wrath from the wickedness of man. And in this day, he was tired of it, and he's going to deal with them. But a wonderful verse here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord favored him. The Lord favored him. The Lord set his love upon Noah, and he's going to bless him and use him. Do you realize that each and every one of us are the descendant of Noah? I tell you what, I praise God for Noah. Because of Noah, I'm here. Because the Lord's working in Noah's life, I'm here. And I praise God for that. But Noah found grace, favor of God Almighty. You know, this wasn't a thing, and I don't know how Noah prayed, but surely the wickedness of man had grieved him. It had grieved his great or great-great granddaddy Enoch because of the preaching that we hear in Jude that Enoch did. And we also have a passage that we'll look at about the preaching of Noah. But you know what? Noah may have prayed, or very likely did pray, about all the wickedness and the nastiness at hand. You know, we need to pray that our Lord would be merciful to our nation, merciful to this world, that men would repent and trust in Christ. The Lord would save sinners because, you know, that's the only help that there is. There's not a help in this next election, although you and I should vote well and right and according to the Lord. But there's not help in our government. There's not help in the wisdom of men. There's only help in the Lord. And that's the only thing that will change our state and change our nation is the salvation of sinners. And we need to go to the Lord with that. You know, does the wickedness of the world grieve you? When it does, and it should, we need to pray that our Lord would forgive us of it and take it away from us. Cleanse us from it. We need cleansed as a people just as much as we do need cleansing as individuals. It says here about the testimony of Noah. These are the generations of Noah, verse number 9. Noah was a just man. He was saved and perfect. He was mature. He followed the Lord. He heard the Lord speak and what the Lord had given him and given his father and those before him being sons of God and how the Lord had worked even with Adam in that. You know, he took hold of that. He believed God. He took what God said. Even though there was no Bible in that day, but what God had done and what God had said and what God had purposed, Noah took it to heart. He believed the Lord. He believed the Lord and trusted the Lord in as much as that he had. It said here in his generations, he was perfect and Noah walked with God. Do you walk with God? Tell you what, as a child of God, you sure better be walking with God. You know, because walking with God is the only way of help and peace and blessing. I mean, we've been given a great hope in our Lord, and would we not walk with Him? Would we be disobedient and not walk with our Lord? And what do you do when you walk with somebody? Don't you fellowship with them? Don't you visit with them, as we would say, and talk with them and listen to them and hear them? Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. We need to walk with our Lord. And so here he is. And Noah begat three sons, it tells us again, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He's got these boys that being at 500 years old. And it says in verse number 11, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What a nasty place. What a nasty time. We see that in our day. We see that. We see that even here in our county, the nastiness and the wickedness that is at hand. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I'm going to destroy them, Noah. What a blessing that the Lord's telling Noah. The Lord has purposed to do this, and when he purposed to do it, you know, it tells us about that early in the chapter, but we don't know the exact timeline. If it is so that in verse number 3, it is a 120-year warning to the time of the flood, Noah would have been about 480 when the Lord said and purposed that he was going to do this. Did he speak to Enoch about it? I don't know. Did he speak to Noah's father Lamech about it, Methuselah about it? Well, certainly in their names, we can kind of see maybe a warning or an indication of it. The Lord's going to do something. He's going to clean up this mess. He's sick and tired of all this sin. And then we come here to verse number 14, and we see a blessed thing. Always with the wicked, always with the bad news is the salvation of the Lord. Noah, make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. Make it so and so of gopher wood and make these rooms in it. Make it this size. Pitch it within and without. Make it that way. And I told you that I consider this a title for this warning, the warning by obedience. What did Noah do? Noah built thee an ark. Okay, Lord, in a couple years I'll get on that. What do you think? I figure Brother Noah got going the next day, don't you? He was obedient. He walked with the Lord. The Lord spoke. He believed it. How's the Lord going to destroy the world with water? How is it that it's going to rain? Noah didn't bother with those questions according to what we have in the scriptures. The Lord said, build thee an ark, and Noah got busy. See, it's the warning by obedience. This man's way of life, from taking care of his family and working to the working that he work that he did to support and take care of his family. In addition to that, there was this other work and mission that Noah undertook. He started to build an ark. There had been no rain. Evidently, there had been no great water like is going to come upon the earth. And Noah undertook to build an ark. He was obedient, wasn't he? He was obedient. It says here in verse number 22 of this chapter, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He did it all. What God said, he hung on every detail, and he listened to what the Lord told him expressly, and he did it. He did it. And that warning by the obedience of this man was a testimony to the world in that day. You know what also it tells us in the scripture? It tells us in the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, and spared not the old world, speaking of God, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You know what I think Noah did? I think he told what he was told of God. I think not only was this a warning by the obedience of Brother Noah and by the obedience of his sons, as they begin to build on that. Those men were born, his sons were born 100 years before the flood. Maybe the warning came at that to Noah at that 120 year mark, even before 20 years before they were born, and then those boys were raised. Or maybe the warning came after that his sons were born, and then for 100 years or 70 years or 80 years, Noah worked on the ark. And as his sons grew up from little tykes up to men, then they began to help him, and they worked and they labored and they built. Did they hew that wood? Did he buy the wood? Did they fall those trees, and did they set up some kind of mill so they could saw those boards? How was it that they did it? I tell you what, they didn't do it overnight. There wasn't a Noah's ark, build it quick kit. No, they had to go get the pitch. They had to buy the pitch, and they had to have a lot of it, didn't they? And they worked and they worked, and the structure went up in the ark over the decades. Think of that, about a work of decades. That ark is being built. And I mentioned to you that this is a warning by obedience, by the preaching of Noah, what he preached, and folks would come around, or he'd be buying supplies. Can you imagine Noah building and come back to get another load of wood from the miller? I don't know how it was. Or he's buying trees or whatever, and they sawed the trees and they hauled the trees and they got all the fasteners or whatever it is, that how they did it, pinning it together and the tools that they needed, and they would go to the smith maybe to get the tools made, and then they would come back and wear out more axes and adzes and saws than a man could wear out, even if he did live 1,000 years in the working of that. I don't know how it was, but it was something. And not only was it a warning of obedience by this man, not only was it a warning by his preaching of what God had given him to do and the warning that was at hand, but I said it was by the warning of a monument. You know, that's what the ark was until that day. It was a monument, wasn't it? It didn't serve any purpose for the blessing of the Lord that the wood didn't rot out from the work that was done 50 years ago until the day that it lifted up on the water. It was a warning. It was a warning that was there in that day. It tells us in Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, verse number 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he reverenced God, he believed God in what he said, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. What? We're going to be destroyed and you're not? Yep. If you don't repent, if you don't receive the message of the Lord, if you don't receive his salvation, bah, we don't need that. Why? Because they love their sin more than they love the word and the truth of the Lord. They did not heed the warning. But our brother, he did heed the warning. He believed God, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By his faithfulness, by his obedience, his obeying the Lord and that righteousness. Again, you and I are here. We are his posterity. That's really something to say that about one man. But by his obedience, we are here. A warning that took place over the course of 100 to 120 years. Noah's work and obedience, his preaching, and that ark that went up over the decades out there, wherever it was that he built it. And then you know what? One day it came. One day. At one moment, what God had promised. What God had promised and determined 120 years or 100 years before or 80 years before, however that was, one day it came to pass. One day it began to rain. In Genesis 7, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, listen to the preciseness of the scripture. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. What God had promised, what God had warned, it came to pass. It came to pass. And then as we read over in 2 Peter, and I invite you to turn back over there, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see here in verse 6 what we've told about out of Genesis, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. The Lord created, and the Lord by water destroyed, but he gave a warning. He gave a warning. He gave a warning over the course of decades. He gave a warning by one man's obedience and his preaching and that monument that he built that was the ark of deliverance that the Lord had provided and commanded him to build. But then we see in verse number 7, there is yet another warning. But the heavens and the earth, which are now. You know, all those scoffers in Moses, or there had to go again, all those scoffers in Noah's day, they died. They died. They perished. And what God said stood firm, didn't it? It came to pass. Brother Doug talked about how men talk about the unfairness of the Lord. The Lord is not unfair in any way. Our Lord is merciful. Our Lord is compassionate. Our Lord is loving. Our Lord is gracious. And here we see here, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word that created, the same word that spoke the destruction by water, these same heavens and earth that you and I see right now, they're kept in store by that same word. Reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen, folks, there's a warning in writing. There was a warning by obedience and preaching and a monument. But now there's a warning in writing. Have you all ever worked for a place where they said no verbal orders? Have you ever worked for a place that said that? I've worked for some places that said that. No verbal orders. Everything or supervisors and managers instruct the employees or whatever, or information that needs to come from the workers to the management or whatever, nothing was to be verbal. It's all to be in writing. That way that there's always a recourse for responsibility and such as that. You know what? Our Lord has given a written warning. A written warning. And listen, the warning comes from several men and is in writing. We've got it right here in this book. We read here in what Peter says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." There is a warning of destruction by fire, and it is a day of judgment, and it is a day of perdition. Why? Not because of the righteous, but because of the ungodly. The ungodly will be at the receiving end of this judgment. You remember Brother John the Baptist, right? How Brother Matthew wrote in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 12, speaking of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, speaking of the garner where wheat is thrashed, and what's he say? And gather his wheat into the garner, into the storehouse, but will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. John preached about it. There's a warning of destruction by fire, and it's in writing. Even Brother Luke, as he wrote some years later, if we understand correctly, he wrote the same thing about the testimony of John. We've got three men here. Of course, under the power and inspiration of the Lord. But they were convinced, just like Brother Noah was convinced. And just like I trust that you and I are convinced that the Lord will judge, and he's going to judge by fire. It's a warning of destruction by fire. In Luke chapter 3, verse 17, is speaking of Jesus again, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He'll gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Unquenchable. The fire will not be able to be put out by any. There was a fire over there just down the street yesterday from where Mom and Dad lived, and the fire department showed up, and I was glad to see how they showed up and in full force. And you know, they put out the fire. At least the building wasn't destroyed. I trust that no one was injured. But the fire of the judgment of the Lord, it won't be put out. It will not be put out by any means. And then we read over here in Jude verse 7. Here's another brother that the Lord has impressed to write and inspired to write. And he's convinced about this judgment. In verse number 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example. Even that happened at Sodom and Gomorrah down there in the southwest corner of the Dead Sea. It's a testimony and a witness of what's going to come to pass. The Lord has given a warning of destruction by fire. It says here, set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance. What's it say? Of eternal fire. In 2 Thessalonians, we turn there and read in chapter 1, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica up there in northeastern Greece, and he writes to them, and the scripture says in verse number 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, listen, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of their souls, they will be destroyed by fire. And it'll be the wrath and vengeance of God that'll be justly poured out on them. It will be unquenchable. It is unquenchable. And it is just and right that our Lord will do so. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They will be removed from the Lord's sight. They will be destroyed eternally. When he shall come, verse 10, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Believe in the Lord. We trust in Him and rest in Him and His gospel for the salvation of our souls. And I look forward to that day that we'll be able to admire our Lord for eternity. It'll be a wonderful thing for us to look upon Him and worship Him and admire Him in every way and to learn about Him and to be in His presence. But those that reject our Lord, those that reject our Savior, those that reject the gospel, as it says here of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a flaming fire of vengeance that will come upon them. You know, there's a warning. There is a warning indeed. And then we come back to 2 Peter. And Brother Peter also is among those witnesses that give this warning. John the Baptist and Brother Matthew and Brother Luke and Brother Paul, and Brother Jude. Notice that this warning comes from more than one man. Notice that this warning comes from men that lived in different times. Maybe some of their lives did cross one another, but they're persuaded and they know that it is true. And then Brother Peter, as we see here in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he continues on. But beloved, in verse number 8, be not ignorant. Don't be without knowledge and understanding about this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not in a hurry. Just because the Lord hadn't done anything yet, up against the promise that He has made. How was it with the flood? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. By that, you and I, just naturally, in the way we are, and so are so lack of patience, we're done. 50 years waiting on a thing, we're done. We quit. Well, it's too long. Yeah, I guess He's not going to do it. 60 years, 70 years, however it was, 100, 120 years that it was known by Noah or known by the brethren, his father, however that was, it came to pass. Because why? God said He was going to do it, and He gave the warning. And He gave a man, He sent His own to obey Him, to preach about it, and to build that testimony, that monument. You know, that ark, it's a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some salvation that's outside of us because we don't have any salvation within us. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a rescuer. He goes on to say, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's not loose about speaking and then not bringing it to pass, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the Lord is going to bring His people. He's going to save His people. It's going to be. And you know what? In a general sense, the Lord is long-suffering and gives men time to hear and believe. You know, you that are here and not saved, you know the Lord has been long-suffering to you. He's been long-suffering to you in that you've been born in these United States. You've been brought in a place where you could learn to read and you could learn to hear the Word of the Lord or to read the Word of the Lord for yourself. You that are here, you've been born into families that have been connected to the Lord's church and been brought to services, many of you, for many years of your life. You've been blessed. Our Lord has been long-suffering with you. You've heard the warning over and over again. And I pray our Lord would bless that you truly would hear His warning. But the day of the Lord, verse number 10, will come as a thief in the night. Just like that one day that it started raining. Just like that one day that the fountains of the earth were broken up. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when you don't expect Him, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in them shall be burned up. I think Peter's persuaded it, don't you? Hey, he believes it. And he's given us detail more than we've seen before. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Child of God, the Lord's going to burn this place up. And we rest and trust in our Lord. But it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Because our God, who is our Savior, is yet a consuming fire. And so may we obey Him. May we herald forth this warning that the Lord gives. What persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, do you desire the Lord to come? Do you desire the Lord to reign? Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Seeing that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons should the children of God be, knowing that these things will come to pass? Don't you know it's going to melt? Don't you know it's going to dissolve? Don't you know that one day there's going to be a great noise? Praise be to God for His salvation. Amen. In Revelation chapter 20, then we see yet another brother, right? And he's been given this revelation of the Lord. And we see here about this warning of fire. And you know what? Here it is. It's in writing. Everywhere we've read, it's in writing. It's in writing. It's here before us in writing, provided by our Lord, provided by His children, His sons that He's spoken through, and that it's been pinned down over the course of the centuries and millennia and given here to us. It's a warning of obedience. It is a warning of preaching. But understand, it's a warning that's in writing too. That there be none that would misunderstand. That there would be none that would miss it. It's in writing. And the Lord has preserved it to bring it to us. Brother John writes, as he saw there on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 20, verse number 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go down to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea," because they've been prolific and multiplying during the Lord's wonderful 1,000-year reign. They've had every blessing that could be had for natural man on this sin-cursed earth by the blessing of the Lord. And yet in their depravity they turn against the Lord. Listen, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth." Listen to this, one verse. "And compassed the camp of the saints about, the beloved city, Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." The warning of destruction by fire is in writing. In conclusion, the warning of destruction by water, maybe that warning lasted for 100 years. The warning was preached by the man of God. The warning was testified to by the obedience of the man of God, Noah, in that day. And one day it came to pass. One day, as God said it, it came to pass. This warning of destruction by fire that Brother Peter writes to us about, and that we see by the testimony of the other brethren, many other brethren in the Scriptures, this test has been testified to in writing for some 2,000 years. Even what John the Baptist said during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got his fan in his hand. He's going to put the wheat in the garner. And he's going to burn the chaff. That warning has been in writing for hundreds and beyond, or thousands of years, preached and written about by several men, confirmed by the Son of Man, who is the only begotten Son of God. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 10, 28. These are the words of Jesus. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's what Jesus said. Luke writes it, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear," speaking in Jesus speaking, "fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." The warning of destruction by fire. One day it will come to pass. In Revelation chapter 20 here, we read in verse number 14 where it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And in chapter 21, we pick it up in verse number 8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a warning of destruction by fire, a warning of destruction by water, and it was there, and it was there for a time. This warning that's at hand of destruction by fire. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord and for these things to come to pass? Ezekiel, I like this verse. In chapter 33, verse number 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. There was a warning. And the Lord tells Ezekiel that if he doesn't take the warning, his blood will be upon his own head. He did that to himself. But he that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. The warning comes from our Lord. In closing, in Colossians chapter 1, let's read. Again, if you have your Bible, read these words for yourself. In Colossians chapter 1, we pick it up here in verse number 27. To whom God, Colossians 1, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's you and me, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Salvation by Christ, even extended to us Gentiles, not Jews, not but we who are alienated, even nationally and from the Lord, and we're far off. In the truest sense, as the Scripture tells us, we're dogs compared to the way the Lord has worked among the nations. But yet his salvation through Christ is extended to us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. You know what? Our brethren believe these things, and it was written about, and the warning is in writing. And you know what? Yet today, Olmsted Baptist Church warns every man. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, wisdom from the Scriptures, from God, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I desire that each and every one in the house that the Lord would save. That's my desire. And we warn you. We warn you about the destruction by fire. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help and bless his word.